بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Alhamdulillah, we listened to the recitation of several surahs this evening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, inshallah. Ali radiallahu anhu said about the Quran that it is Hablullah al-Mateen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very firm and durable rope. La yanqadi ajaibuhu. Its wonders will never cease. Wa la yakhliqu bi kathrati ar-radd. And it does not wither away with the constant recitation and repetition. The more you read it, the more fresh it becomes. Unlike other commodities and things in the world, that the more you use it, the less it becomes new, it becomes old. The Quran is not like that way. The more you read it, the more it is refreshing, it becomes newer and newer to you, and also the Quran itself reveals itself even more the more you try to understand and think about it. Okay. Then he goes on after a while and he says, فِيهِ خَبْرٌ مِنْ قِبَلِكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, that people who came before you, there's news of those people in the Quran. وَنَبَأٌ مِلِيمًا بَعْدَكُمْ, and there are predictions for those who come after you. There's Ali radiallahu anhu saying that when you read the Quran properly, you will find evidence of everything that is happening in the world today. Right? Meaning that's if you read it the way the Sahaba would have read it in their time. And this opens up huge ocean of knowledge for us, that when we read in the Quran today, we must see how it applies to us today. In one of the surahs, Surah Al-Jathiyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two groups of people that exist today, although the Quran was revealed a long time ago. So there is naba, there is prediction, okay? There is a warning of those who are going to come after you. In these two ayat, you will see we can summarize the whole world. One is أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ فَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَبَصَرِهِ وَجَعَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ غِشَاوًا. Have you not seen the one who takes his desires and his fancies and his fantasies to be his God? He doesn't worship Allah. What does he worship? Hawa. He worships his desire. He worships his passion. That passion can be in the form of a religion. It can be in the form of an opinion. It can be in the form of a lifestyle. It can be in any form except that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has no form. This is hawa. What do you crave and desire the most? That is your hawa. That is your passion. That is your raison d'etre, they say in French, your reason for existence. So my reason for existence is this. My reason for existence is this. Then it doesn't matter what religion says. Because previously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Banu Israel who had knowledge. The Banu Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave them the book and the knowledge and guidance. But despite that, they went astray. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I would dare say this refers to the Muslims more than anyone else, that although we have Islam, the Quran, Sunnah, and Fiqh, and everything else, we still want to worship our desire. Sometimes people come and say, I don't care what the fiqh says. That's worshipping your hawa. That's worshipping your desire. Because you're not really in it to please Allah, you're in it for validation. In front of your parents, in front of your siblings, in front of your cousins, your dozens, in front of your family, in front of your peers, in front of your co-workers, your colleagues, in front of society, and no doubt, in front of the US. Or wherever it is you live. Doesn't matter where you live. Could be here, could be Europe, could be anywhere in the world. If you're not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're worshipping something else. That something else will be your hawa, will be your desire, will be whatever it is you crave to do and crave and aspire to be, or whatever level of existence you want to have in your life, that is what you are going to hold as your standard for judging whether or not this is right or wrong. It doesn't matter. Right? As we have mentioned several times before about the gay rights thing. Now, some of you said this is now getting sickening. No, it's not getting sickening. This is just the beginning. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Okay, so we mustn't get upset. If the ulama speak about this in public, they should be speaking about this all the time. Why? Because we never spoke about it 20 years ago when there were red flags in the community. You know, it doesn't matter. Not going to happen here. Well, it's happened. So what are you going to do? Well, let's not speak about it. No, speak about it. Talk about it, discuss it, and say it is haram. And those who say, well, I don't agree, then that is what? That is hawa. That is your desire. That is your passion. You have made the legal classification of a sin in a certain country a standard for right and wrong. Something that is haram. Now, this applies to everything else across the board. Whether it's gender mixing, and whether it's something else. It doesn't matter. It is hawa. It doesn't matter. Because I do it, or somebody that I know does it, that means it must be right. And then, if it's not right, people say, I don't care. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, فَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. Allah misguides them despite knowledge. عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. Even though they have the correct understanding and the knowledge of what is right and wrong, Allah misguides them because their God is their passion, is what's in their mind. So now this is Ali radiallahu anhu saying, now this is news and information prediction for those who will come after you. This is not there during the time of the Sahaba. This is not there at the time of the Tabi'in. It wasn't here 50 years ago. It's here now. So what is now the Qur'an saying? Listen to the Qur'an. Not only understand it, but apply it and practice it. This is one group of people that they want to make everything that is sinful and evil Islamic. You can't get enough of Islam. Nobody. Right? Even the sinner wants to be validated by Islam. These idiots who want to have cartoons about drawing about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they can't get enough of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They can't get enough of Islam. I mean, this is how ironic it has become that if you want to sensationalize who you are, Islam must be in the picture somewhere. Otherwise, it's not news. Otherwise, it doesn't appeal to anybody in their conversation, even at the international level, the political level. This is how it's become. Now, for us, maybe that's a good thing. Because one day, some of these people will turn around and say, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why am I so fixated about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I'm inviting people to draw cartoons of him? Maybe I should read his seerah and inshallah, maybe they'll accept Islam. That's also a possibility. Okay? But we can't wait for that possibility. If it happens, it happens through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will and his fadl. So this is one group of people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses. Now, no doubt, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in the time of the Sahaba and Tabi'in, there might have been other small pockets of people who had this idea in their mind that we can worship our desires. So the Quran says, worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one else, and follow only Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no one else. This is your deen, this is your Islam. This is the first group. The second group are those who say, in here illa hayatuna dunya namutu wa nahya wa ma yuhlikuna illa dahr. That this life is the only life. This life is the only life. We will live and we will die. And only time will destroy us. Only time will finish us off. Okay. Now, this is a bit of atheism, but it's a bit more than that. Okay. The atheists say the same thing. There's no God, there's no supreme being, there's nothing there. It's just time. We'll manage it, and whatever it is in this world, we'll live and we'll die, and that's the end of the story. But what is the underpinning idea in the Quran for Muslims when they read this? Muslims, they're not atheists. They believe in God. Muslims believe there is a malakul maut. Never mind God. There's actually an angel of death. Right? As an agent of death that we believe in. So we believe in these agents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, and it is through these agents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then decides to execute His amr and His command in the world. So if there's going to be rain, the angels will execute the command. If someone's going to be born, the angels are going to execute the command. If someone's going to die, they're going to execute the command. If someone is going to have risk, they're going to execute the command. So we as Muslims, not only do we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also believe in the agents, meaning the angels that Allah has created to execute His amr. This is how sophisticated we are as Muslims. As far as the atheists, they're a different kettle of whatever. We don't call them fish because that's too dignified to call them. Right? We call them something else. Here, what is the message for the Muslim? Namutu wa nahya. Namutu wa nahya. We will die and we live. We live and we die. We live and we die. That meaning that there's really no concept in whatever we do about dying. And who's going to cause our death? None whatsoever. We don't care. So we go on, plod along every day. We wake up in the morning and we go to work and you come back at night. And at the end of the day, subhanAllah, mashaAllah, illa minshaAllah, Allah bless us all. I'm sure everybody here does their salat. Allah give us tawfiq and accept. But there are many, many Muslims, unfortunately, as we all know, who don't have this lifestyle. They don't have this lifestyle. When they wake up in the morning, there's no Fajr. When they come back home, there's no Maghrib, there's no Isha. Namutu wa nahya. Namutu wa nahya. We live, we die. We die, we live. It's just sporadic living, and whatever there is in our lives, there is this misunderstanding of Islam and Allah's rahmah and compassion, forgiveness, that Allahu Kareem. وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرِ. No one is going to destroy us except life itself, or time itself, or whatever happens will happen. So this is another group within the Muslim Ummah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now referring to. And when we look at these two groups, you can summarize the whole Ummah in this. In these two, ISIS. What is ISIS doing? ISIS is worshipping its passion and desire for a misguided representation of something they call Khilafah. That has become their god. Okay? That movement is their idol, is their ilah. It is what they worship. If that is not established, they will die. And therefore they die because they want to establish it. This is Hawa. So you can take anything you want, and then you can misconstrue it in the name of deen and religion, where you're not worshipping Allah, you're not following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you belong to this category of people who worship their desires. Or you can be in the second group, where, God forbid, al-amal al-hafidh, that religion makes no difference to your life. It's okay, it's a cultural phenomenon. Hijab is a cultural phenomenon. It's a piece of identity. Salatul Jum'ah is a cultural phenomenon. It's a piece of identity. What we do in Ramadan is a cultural phenomenon. It's a piece of identity. Having iftar, even though you have not fasted, is a cultural phenomenon. It's a piece of identity. Right? Now this is what we are facing in the world today, and this is definitely a crisis. We have not felt this crisis at this level for many generations. In fact, I don't think we ever have in our Muslim history. We are at a crossroads now where we must all make dua in the remaining nights and days of Ramadan, the last 10 days, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to deliver people from the fire of hell. We must make dua that Allah, first of all, saves us, protects us, and delivers us from His punishment in this world and also in the other world, number one. Number two, we must make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives all Muslims the tawfiq to worship Him and to follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in such a way that it will, inshallah, it will prove to Allah through our actions, not that He needs any proof, that we are willing to ask for forgiveness. This is what the ummah needs. The ummah needs to submit to who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and ask for forgiveness, not only for itself, but also for all other people. When we say that the doors of hell in Ramadan are shut, what does that mean and entail on earth? It means the doors of sin are shut. That's what it means. Right? How do we manifest and how do we experience the doors of hell being shut? There should be no sin. Why? Because sins open the door of hell. Is that true? If there are no sinners, would the doors of hell be open or shut? They'll be shut. So in your house, in your life, in your being, in your conscious, in your subconscious, are you prepared to shut the doors of hell by cutting down and removing and eradicating sin? If you make that decision and choice tonight, Allah will deliver you from hell, inshallah. This is how it's done. The hadith is very rosy. Wonderful. And I'm sure that's what happens. Allah has shut the doors of hell, and Allah, inshallah, we ask you to keep them shut forever. There's nothing wrong in making that dua. But what does that entail from us? What it means for us is that in this world, we shut the doors of sin, such that the doors of hell will no longer be needed to be opened. But then you have the angels. The angels say to Allah after Ramadan, hey, they started sinning again. So there's a cause and there's an effect. Once you start sinning again, the doors of hell are automatically opened. That's what they do. The angels. This is a cause and effect. Right? Yeah, you drink water, you're satiated. That's how it works. You commit a sin in the dunya, over there, the doors of hell are now reopened. And what does it mean that the doors of Jannah are opened? That you choose to perform good deeds instead of bad deeds. So when you do your salat, psalm, zakat, and hajj, and your dua, and your dhikr, and recitation of the Quran, all of that, then the doors of Jannah are opened. So if you want to leave those doors of Jannah opened throughout the year, then we should make the intention right here tonight that we will continue to worship Allah and follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we'll be vigilant about our future, about our children, about ourselves, about the Muslim ummah, and about the angel of death. Because when the angel of death comes, Alama al-Hafidh, he is not going to send you an email. There's no snapshot. There's no warning. One, two, three, you're gone. That's it, finished, khalas. No one's going to be there for you, except you, and your deeds and your actions. So what I'm saying is that Ali radiallahu anhu, who is obviously one of the greatest masters of understanding the Quran, told his students that when you read the Quran correctly, the way it should be, you will find news and predictions about what's going to happen in the future. not only about what's going to happen in the grave, but also what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment, which is very clear and very evident. But he's speaking about here. In this world, you will find enough fodder, enough information, enough knowledge about what's happening in the world today. You will not need to conduct a research project, or you will not need to investigate what's happening in the world. Read the Quran, and you will know exactly what's happening in the world. This is what's happening. In this surah, it is very clear, it is very evident, when the ulama read this, alhamdulillah, that they say this, this is what's happening, and this is the cure. What is the cure? The cure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. In the Quran. The Quran says, وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةٍ كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ تُدْعَى إِلَىٰ كِتَابِهَا الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ هَذَا كِتَابُنَا يَنْتِقُ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ إِنَّا كُنَّا نَسْتَنْسِخُ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ On the Day of Judgment, you will see people, they will be crawling on their knees. Jathia. They'll be crawling on their knees. Why? Because they won't be able to stand up, they won't be able to walk, because they didn't have enough energy in the world to stay away from sin and to do good deeds. So there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give them a backbone. They won't have a spine upon which they can rest their feet and walk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, remember this time when your book of deeds will be presented. يَنْتِقُ بِالْحَقِّ And it will speak the truth. Once you have this awareness and consciousness and no doubt a fear and an apprehension, then you will behave correctly in this world. Now it doesn't matter to the Muslim, as the Sahaba used to say, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Ali radiallahu anhu who said this, and if I am, then please forgive me. But I know many of the Sahaba might have made these statements, such as this one, that I believe in Jahannam. I believe in Jahannam, the existence of hell, in such a way that if it was brought in front of me today, it would not increase my iman. And I believe in Jannah in such a way that if Jannah was brought to me in front of me today, it would not increase my iman. What does this mean? This means that it doesn't matter what the whole world says. What matters is what you do and say in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you arrive at that conclusion, then you will think about not worshipping you. Worshipping your desire, your passion, your knowledge, whatever it is not there for worship. It is there as a utility. You worship Allah. Use the knowledge of deen to worship Allah and to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, you use everything in the world as a means. They have utility. They are not the end. The end is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I'm saying is that we still have a few more nights of Ramadan left, and we should concentrate and focus on cleansing our minds and our hearts from these diseases. And we all have them. We all have them, that we constantly want to worship our desires and our passions and our theories and our ideas, and we don't want to worship Allah, and we really don't want to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's too difficult. Who's going to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Right? The only time you follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is when we make wudu and we do salat behind the imam. What about all the other areas of life? Sometimes it's zakat. Sometimes okay when we fast. Sometimes okay in hajj. Even then it's become a joke. Right? You don't need to get me going on that. What happens in hajj doesn't happen in hajj. Okay? There's no sunnah hajj left in any hajj nowadays, unfortunately. Why? Because there's no sunnah left. So what I'm saying is that we as Muslims, it doesn't matter what everybody else in the world is doing, thinking, conceiving, theorizing, believing, politicking, socializing, it doesn't matter. What matters to us is that this Ramadan is going to be a life changer for us. That is the niyyah we must make right now before we go. Say inshallah. Inshallah, not the culture inshallah. I want the real inshallah from the depth of your hearts, which only you are listening to. I'm not listening. You have to listen to that inshallah and say yes. Because one man and one woman will make a difference. As I mentioned last week, it's not the numbers. Stop counting. You make a difference because of your existence on the planet. You, as an individual, in the Ibrahim kan ummatan. Ibrahim as one man was what? An ummah. Allah says about Ibrahim, he was one man. He is one man. And what is he? Ummah. He's a whole ummah. So we must clear our minds from this idea that since others don't know or don't believe or don't feel this way, I'm not going to do this because you do believe. And when you believe the way Allah wants you to and you follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you do make a difference. Whether that difference is shown here or on the Day of Judgment, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His tawfiq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show His rahmah upon us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deliver us from the fire of hell. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all evil and sin in this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to shower His blessings and fadl upon us in this month and even after this month for the rest of our lives and our graves. On the Day of Judgment, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to enter into Jannah and Jannatul Firdaus without any hisab. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, and the Salihin. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika Ya Arhamar Rahimeen.